Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to The Hotbed, Episode 8, like being in our own budget rom-com. I'm Lisa Williams.
I'm Anarchy Somerville.
I'm Cherry Healy, and Anarchy and I, if we got married, we would be Cherokee.
Cherokee.
Sorry, Lisa, that leaves you out a bit, but you got a joke, it's fine.
Yeah, I'm happy just being Lisa. Clipboard Lisa.
That's always a really controversial question, actually. I think I've done that before with a girlfriend. Who would you marry me or do you fancy me? That kind of thing.
So What conversations do you have?
Well, when you're very sort of drunk and it's kind of 2 o'clock in the morning, you might say, listen, if we were both gay, would you fancy me? Would you marry me?
I've got another really good game.
It's called
What Would Your Penis Look Like If You Were a Man?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone said to me that we had the funniest night. We ended up replaying and really took it really seriously. I sometimes wonder what it must be like as a man having sex with a woman, what that must feel like. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about that another day.
Series two of people.
Series two.
With the Hotbed Collective, we are three women hell-bent on improving this world one orgasm at a time. And now is probably a good chance to sort of reflect on that because this is the final episode of the series. We started it out going, I want a podcast, like a spoilt kid in a shop. I want a podcast. I've got a website. I want an Instagram account. We got it. I want a podcast. I want a live show. And we got it all. We treated ourselves, didn't we? and so we thought we would sort of talk a little bit about how we think the podcast has gone and what we want next for the Hotbed Collective. We throw to our final show for the final time where we review an app called the Pillow app. So we talked at the very beginning of this series. In fact, Cherry mentioned it. She said, you know, when things get tough, when you want to communicate with your partner, I want a script. And lots of people said, yes, we want a script too. So Pillow app is kind of a script for us. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to hear again from life and confidence coach Mary Meadows, who we heard from earlier on in the series and who was a real hit. She's going to talk about dating after divorce. And we're going to give you some better words for masturbation. Thanks to you lot, because we put a shout out and you all delivered. So before we start, let's set the scene. We're back at Soho Radio in a wonderful downstairs studio. It's funny, this is our sex dungeon.
I really like this room. I really think we should make this our spiritual home.
It's nice. It needs it needs maybe a little bit more decoration. It's
quite minimal. Well, I think we can add to that. I think I love my boudoir in my house so much. But there is, sorry, that was my squeaky stool. But it's very nice to be in a proper studio, and I can hear that the sound quality is a lot better, and it's fun to be in Soho.
It is.
And also, we're taking Dr. Karen out for lunch after this,
which is exciting.
We finish this recording.
So Dr. Karen is our wonderful resident sex expert, and she's been so brilliant, and we want to take her out for lunch, get her drunk, tell her how much we love her.
I know. It's funny, isn't it? Because the minute you said that, I was sort of thinking, are we going to order dishes that are kind of look like sexual organs to try
Anarchy,
and give
thank
it
you
a
for
sexual
a lunch theme. You've so just given the whole lunch. Another like, dimension.
So there needs to be something that's phallic.
Sausage.
There needs to be something like a fig or a vaginal sort of plate. Or
everyone
something.
Has to have some kind of genital
or
food.
Or a peach. There's actually an Instagram account where she uses lots of fruit to represent vaginas and sort of squeezing fruit and things. So
we'll find that and put that
just
on our Instagram
back to
account.
I think the podcast has been doing. I personally think that our first one was great in energy, but I think it's our podcast has got better like a fine wine because I found I talked so fast and I talked over everyone and I've never done a podcast with two other people and I realised that I got really overexcited by what you were saying. And so I think that they've got a lot better and I've also been so incredibly excited about the response. And Lisa, I just feel like you just are the most, you're such the boss lady with
she
your scripting
lady.
And your producing and your notes, having had a new baby 10 minutes ago.
It's quite funny.
That
I
is quite staggering,
actually. To death, because I've got
Thank
a couple
you.
Of friends who've just had babies and I keep going, well, my friend Lisa, she's doing a whole podcast with her baby.
And there is the worry, isn't there? You don't want to be competitive. You don't want mums to feel like, I've had a baby and now I must set up a small business.
No. But I think it's nice. I mean, the thing is that the reality is that it's not always easy, is it? But it's kind of, I think it's nice to be able to see someone being creative and doing stuff.
Yes.
As well as looking after a newborn. Because that's quite
inspiring. Have you found it hard to do the podcast and Joe?
Joe, not so much. It's having a toddler, actually, so that could be any time. Mm. It's been quite nice during the night feeds to be listening to footage about anal sex and masturbation and transcribing them and doing kind of show notes and things. And I've learned so much doing this series that I'm hoping series two will be really slick. But I think, you know, what I found really interesting is, so as you all regular listeners will know, the regular snorting in the background is my little baby Joe, and I've just brought him along to everything, and it's sort of made it a bit easier that way. And sometimes the hotbed children sort of come weave in and out of our recordings, and we see them at the beginning and at the end. And I said to you two, the snorting's really bad on this episode, you know, do you think it matters? And Cherry, you were really sweet where you were like, no, because it shows that we can be mums and we can talk about sex, and that's the beauty of what we're doing.
And our remit really is sex after kids and sex in long-term relationships, and there are distractions. I think it's well on brand. There was one recording, we're reminiscing about our recording, and Lisa had to tell me and Anna Key off, because I bought some hummus and breadsticks, and we didn't even stop when the recording had started, and Lisa had to very gently tell us that was probably the line.
What we were doing? We were getting into that kind of...
We went rabid.
We'd gone into... I think basically we were eating a meal.
It was like that. It was like the Cookie Monster.
We went absolutely... Hummus. You've never seen two people destroy a pot of hummus faster than that. But, you know, the chomping and the munching.
Proper hunger. You know, when you're really, really hungry.
Yeah, that was bonkers.
Podcasting is hungry.
Can I just say one thing? Because there's one thing that I have to just get out, which was that I think initially, because we had this review, didn't we? We should talk about our reviews and what people have said. And I know that Miranda Sawyer did a review, and we love her very much. And it was kind of a bit of a mixed blessing, perhaps, because I think it was very early on, and it could have been quite easy to take that really badly. Mm. Interestingly, I hope that she will give us another listen, actually, if not this series, next series, because I actually think we've improved quite a lot. And so I sort of think the first time, I echo what you said, actually. I think sometimes we do say the first thing that pops into our brain, and sometimes we were talking over each other quite a lot. And I think now we're probably a bit more savvy, perhaps.
Yes. So let's talk about what we've learnt from this series. And I have learned, for example, that lots of women watch porn. And, you know, episode 5, I think it was, Can Feminist Porn Give You the Horn, was a real moment. For me, that was the best episode of the series, followed closely by I'd Like Something Up My Bottom, Please, which is the next episode. Mm. But we had a lot of people contact us about that episode, and they watched a lot of porn, and they said they enjoyed mainstream porn, but then they felt really guilty about it afterwards. And they had never heard of feminist porn, and they were really interested to hear about it. And a lot of them have gone to check it out. They've done their homework. So if you watch porn and you are a woman, you are not alone. If you feel guilty about it, there are other options. And that was probably my main thing. The other thing that I've learned from this series is the words. We don't have the words to talk about sex. We're all about being open. But a lot of us kind of cringe at words like masturbation and lubrication and vulva.
Like, you're right. The vocab is poor, isn't it?
Yeah.
But also, even just, I mean, that's the thing I've learned, is just sort of talking about, it's funny because I've had a few friends say to me, I can't believe how you just come out and say stuff, you know, the three of you. Yeah. And I think we feel, we've probably really brought our kind of boundaries down.
Oh,
and
God,
so our chat is very open.
Spoken to women about sex so much.
But
ever.
It is quite strange, because I still think the reality is that when you step outside and you're with another group of women, you wouldn't be necessarily doing what we're doing. So I think if there's one thing I hope is that it gives people more permission to have a chat about this with friends.
I hope so too.
And bring it out, because there's a lot of women who are like, oh, I really enjoy listening to you, but I would never have those kind of chats. And I think part of our advantage is that we don't hang out together all the time. And so we don't sort of live in each other's pockets. And in a way, that creates more intimacy. I don't know why that is. There's also just a funny little dynamic between us where we've always been open right from the start.
Cherry.
I think following on from that, I couldn't agree more. I think the thing I've learned is that people, women need permission to talk openly about sex, mm-hmm. because there was an idea that if you talk about sex, if you like sex, that you're a little bit dirty, a little bit wrong, a little bit uncouth. I don't want to be with you. I don't really trust you. I wouldn't want you around my kids. There's a very, very strong sense of a woman not being allowed to talk about sex. You can have sex and you must be sexy, but you mustn't enjoy it or talk about it, which is just so odd.
And that's the joke about sex after kids, because we've obviously all done it, because otherwise
pretend not to.
And so, to me, that I find that liberating, actually, because I think I don't have to pretend to be a virgin anymore.
I also, I'm extremely excited about how many people want to talk about this and how many people have listened to the podcast. And I really like that we are in between the Guilty Feminist and Woman's Hour on the iTunes podcast list. I thought the podcast would be great. And obviously, I think you two are fantastic. But I have been a bit surprised at the reaction to it, at how many people have listened to it and downloaded it, and how it seems that people really, really want to talk about this.
It's funny, because that revelation, I think, even that women are watching porn, because, you know, there's another little podcast I've been listening to, this John Ronson one, The Butterfly Effect, and he's talking about the porn industry in general, and he's just talking about the sheer amount of porn that is consumed worldwide. So mainly via Pornhub, that's like the main number one thing. And he talks about numbers, and basically I was listening to it and I suddenly had this epiphany where I was like, so if I'm thinking about those numbers and I'm walking home, every single house has got at least one person in it who is watching porn. Mm-hmm. And he was also talking about times of day. So it's usually on a Sunday in the States, that's when a lot of porn is watched, and that's when the rest of the family are out at church. So that's when it happens. And the other highest hit time is Monday morning, which is work. So people are watching huge quantities of porn Monday morning at work. Yeah. And I thought that was really interesting, but I also found it really liberating, because I thought, isn't it funny that if we do watch porn, sometimes we feel this real sense of shame, of kind of like, I'm the only one, what's wrong with me? That's really weird. But actually, once you start to think about every house in every street is somebody watching porn at some point during the day, male and female, teenage, you know, whatever, it kind of opens things up a bit. And you think, do you know what? That's why people want to talk about it, because it's just as common as eating or going to the loo or washing your hair.
Talking about movies and watching films and box sets.
Exactly.
I mean, it's getting to this, you know, it's as prolific as watching a box set now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love the idea of, hey, you guys go to church, I'll just stay at home and wash the car.
I know. Well, I was thinking about...
when people go, I'm going to work from home. You're going to watch telly and wank. I know.
I was thinking about...
Yeah, working on something.
I was thinking about sort of in the office as well. I was thinking that is quite peculiar, isn't it? Sort of under the desk, or, you know, that
kind of
thing.
Do you guys have a regular time? Is there like a time of the day when you...
No.
I quite often, after I've exercised and showered, because I'm really kind of really full of beans, and I'm really, and I feel really good about myself, and all the endorphins are happening, and then that's just a great time for me.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a connection between exercise and
which
we should talk about. Now, I'm going to just move on quickly to the live show, because a theme that has come out has been sex and tech. So a lot of the stuff that we have reviewed has required an app or a download or something like that. And Grandma Anarchy, born at the turn of the century, has had real trouble with this.
Have trouble with that.
But this is a really interesting app, and you'll hear more about it in a second. It's called the Pillow app. It was developed by two sex counsellors and relationship counsellors. And, it's all very well explained in this little piece, which was recorded at our live show at Old Street Records. Let's throw to the show.
We're talking about a Pillow app, which is an app which helps couples to re-engage in an intimate way. And when I first heard about this, I thought, because phones are so part of how you disengage with each other, and you're both on your phone scrolling or doing whatever. But actually, when I really looked at it, I thought, this is bloody genius. Because if you are both phone junkies, it's a way, it's almost like a bit of a game that you do together. And it gives you little kind of games to play with each other. But do you know what? I'm going to admit something that I downloaded it, I looked at it, but I haven't engaged with it with a real life human person. But one of us has.
That's me.
I'm going to throw it to Lisa.
That would be me. So I've used this Pillow app. So just to describe a little bit what it's like, you sign up. It's free for the first 14 days, and then it's $5.99 a month. So try before you buy. And it's a series of videos. And these videos, they're kind of audio tracks. And they talk you through a particular kind of counselling or intimacy exercise.
It's so not as bad as we're making it out to be. It's actually quite cool and it's branded
Anarchy,
nicely and it's done well.
Anarchy wasn't keen because she signed up and within 5 minutes she got 3 emails from the app.
Well, this is what I mean about whether you're a digital native or not. So I had the same problem with the
felt abused. She was like, no, stop.
No,
I
know.
Liked
there was
those.
There was a lot of emails. From
I liked
somebody
the emails.
Darren.
Yes, Darren yes, did
Darren
send you.
Sent me a
but
lot of
I
emails.
Liked the emails because one of those emails was from their version of Dr. Karen, who basically said, look, the best way to use this app is for it to be specific to your couple, to your relationship. Mm-hmm. So fill out this little questionnaire and I will send you the best. I mean, basically, it felt quite bespoke, but it was an email from, you know.
Mm. So Darren's one of the co-founders, and so he sends these emails quite regularly saying, new update.
But if you struggle with intimacy in your relationship, you know how we were talking earlier about, you know, I'm going for a weekend away, you just need to spend more time with each other. It's like, how? How do I do that? And I feel like this app really helps to answer that question. For some people, actually, it really gives you a practical solution.
No, and that was one thing that I did like about it. I mean, I didn't want to pay, because that was the other thing, is I couldn't figure out how to actually do it without paying $5.99. So I didn't, I'll be completely honest, I didn't actually sign up for it. Because I have this whole thing with technology where
homework.
I'm like, what the fuck is that? So basically, I didn't sign up for it. But interestingly, when we were driving to the venue today, I did look at it and I thought, that is actually not a bad idea. Because I think if you say to a partner, the app has told me that you that actually we need to do blah, 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 blah.
As always, you just nail it on the head. You basically blame
help.
It on the app. So Lisa, what was your experience?
So the best way to broach the topic of the fact that you want to try this app out is to pretend that you're reviewing it for the Hotbed Collective. Because it gives you an alibi. And that's how I got my partner to say yes. Otherwise, he would have run a mile. I mean, he kind of did run a mile, but we got him back. And he said, are you actually going to make me do this? And I said, yes, because the deadline's approaching and one out of the three of us has got to try this fucking product. So I did it. Anyway, it's very appealing. You go through and you scroll through all these different exercises. And some of them will appeal to others, you know, and some will appeal to me. And the one that I first saw that I thought was interesting was called 15 Kisses. And I thought, okay, I can deal with that. But I thought, I can be kissed 15 times. That's not so hard. So you press play, and then you get the choice of, do you want Angelina or do you want Zach? And I thought, I want Angelina. So I clicked on Angelina, and I pressed play, and it was actually a bit disappointing because it wasn't like a sexy American lady. It was quite a prim-sounding Brit. And it sounded a bit too much like a kind of sex information video. So I turned off and I went back to Zach. Zach is American. So immediately I was like, Americans just, they get away with sex talk much better than English. The English accent, I don't find personally. Anyway, I find American pillow talk much more attractive than... Americans have no morals.
Boom!
So the audience of the
there
member. There's just something about it. Maybe it's...
So how did the 15 kisses work? Did you literally have to kiss each other 15 times?
Zach says, I want you to face your partner and give them a kiss from the jawline to the neck. And it's that specific. And there's 15 different types of kisses. Some of them are better than others, so I can't say we were that taken with the lizard, which is basically where you stick your tongue out at intervals at each other, like touching in the middle, like a lizard.
Sex has got to be lols. You've got to give it to the app.
Some people probably love this, but what I loved the most about this app was, because we were sort of like making out and Zach was telling us what to do and I felt like I was in a rom-com. It was so brilliant. I felt like I had Zach directing me and an actor and that he was telling us what to do. I mean, admittedly, in our case, it was a really budget rom-com in a really shit bedroom with like budget actors who aren't famous with no profile or gags. But anyway, it was, you know, it worked. So by kind of kiss 9, we were kind of a bit like, okay, we've nailed this kissing thing. But it worked because it was like, how long do you spend on actually kissing? You don't.
You don't spend any time, do you? That's a problem.
But I also think sometimes you need a third party. You don't want an actual physical person in your bedroom, but you need a third party to help you both go, like, have a bit of a laugh, to help you get intimate. I think that in the digital age that has obviously affected so many people's lives, this is a real positive. I think it's a good thing.
It's true. And some of them are like 15 kisses is kind of like a kind of entry level one, I would say. There's some deeper, more intimate ones. And the other one we did was called something like Undercover Secrets or something, and you literally put the duvet over your head, and then Zach or Angelina, whoever floats your boat, asks you questions that you then have to answer, and they're actually really sweet. It's a bit like playing Mr. and Mrs. with your other half, because it's stuff like, you know, like, what did you think of me when you first met me, or like, when were you the most happy, and what's made you happiest? And actually, I mean, I played with more spirit than my partner, I have to say, but it did come out with some really lovely things, and it gets racier, and then it gets, you know, when's the best shag that you've, well, they didn't say shag, but, you know, when's that's my version, but it was, you know, when's the most exciting time you've had sex, and you can kind of relive and unlock this great sexual memory if you did have a, you
see,
know,
now
if you've
when
lost
I'm
a bit
listening
of
to you talk about it, I'm thinking, God, I should have done it, because it actually sounds...
It's only $5.99,
Annie. $5.99.
It's not even that, it's free, for the love of God.
The problem is, for me anyway, is that Paul doesn't even have, I mean, my partner doesn't even have a smartphone, so I know you're sort of hearing me protest quite a bit there, but he still has the game on his phone called, is it Snake?
Oh, I love that game.
So he plays Snake, and Ray keeps going, can I play Snake on Daddy's phone? So it's just, yeah, we're not the best sort of high-tech people.
It's not for everyone, you know, that's what, that's, you know, there's a whole range of fun things going on in the world of sex.
What, yeah.
I'm not sure apps are, I don't think they float your boat.
I quite like the idea, like, I think I read someone went on a retreat. I quite like the idea of going back to basics and sort of almost just spending time together away from technology and away from screens.
So less tech rather than
But
more.
I don't want any, like, really beardy people who smell of lentils coming at me with their sandals on and trying to massage me. But I just, I don't want any of that.
So what you've enjoyed really more than the kind of product reviews is the interviewing people.
The big highlight for me has been being like a roving reporter. I think
raving
reporter. And I loved
it.
You know, my highlight, it definitely was sort of going to meet people.
You loved Meg Matthews and her 200 diptyque candles.
I loved her so much. And I sort of, it's funny because I grew up with her. In my day, she used to be very, very famous. And she was literally, you know, she was somebody that I always read about in gossip columns and stuff. And I really looked up to her. And I just thought she was a very cool person. And I think especially because I'm older than everyone else, I'm constantly looking for women who are kind of a few years ahead of me that I can look up to. And I sort of look at her and I think, actually, do you know what? If I'm like that in my early 50s, that's not too bad. Having said that, I didn't marry an Oasis frontman, because if I had, I probably would have a bit more of a diptyque thing going on at home. But she takes care of herself and she's still very sexy. I think she spent her birthday at the Chateau Marmont in LA, and I thought, bloody hell, if I'm like 54 and I'm there with a bunch of friends,
we'll all be
nice.
In coat, won't we?
No, I'll basically be in Lidl. Yeah, I'll be in Nando's probably, but it's quite nice to aspire to that.
Yeah.
So Meg Matthews, just to explain, Anarchy, the one thing she really took away from that interview was that Meg Matthews's house was filled. Every spare inch of her house was filled with a diptyque candle, and Anarchy went on about that more than anything else.
Well, it's because, hours to light them. I've got four candles at home.
But do you know what it is? You know what the pinnacle? I know that you've reached it when you have a diptyque candle in your toilet. And you burn it all day, even when you're not doing a poo.
I mean, that's like £300 a day habit.
Because I'm sorry,
it's
but that's just
drugs.
Yeah. It's just, I just think that's amazing, just to burn them willy nilly. Because I tend to like burn them for like literally a minute, and then I have to blow them out again because they're so bloody expensive.
I know, and I get worried about
any,
fire.
If Diptyque are actually listening and would like to sponsor our show,
send 200.
The fragrances are also very, very nice too. I do love them very much.
So another interview you did was with life and confidence coach Mary Meadows at, what's she called? Badass Mary Meadows? Badass? No. What's she called on Instagram?
I think she's just Mary Badass, isn't she?
Mary Badass. Mary Badass Meadows. Anyway, whatever combination her name goes in, Anarchy spoke to her, and we're going to hear from her again now because we heard from her when she was talking about body confidence back in episode 4, Just Look at the State of Me, and here she is talking about sex and dating after divorce.
I think I'm right in saying that you're single now.
Yes.
Footloose and fancy free,
absolutely. And what's that like? I mean, because, I mean, I'm, you know, there's lots of people who are single and single parents, and but sort of, I suppose, the dating scene, you know, all of that stuff. How has that been for you, going from obviously being somebody with a partner to the single person? Because the perception from my end of it is that single women, and they're the ones who are sort of supping cocktails at the bar, being chatted up by handsome men in the nightclub at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, having exciting holidays with their other halves in, you know, I don't know, Tasmania, whilst I'm sort of like watching probably Netflix
doing the ironing. Okay, well, that's not true, certainly not for me. So I think when I became a single mum, so probably about 4.5 years ago now, it was a massive change, you know, and it wasn't my choice either. So my husband had an affair that ended our marriage, but I've always been really open about it and speaking. It's a fact. It's, you know, there's you know, it's just what happened. So it got about 6 months in, there was this, okay, I am a sexy, hot woman. I'm in my 30s. This needs, you know, I need to kind of, it was almost like I had to kind of prove that I still could, kind of thing. So I had some very hot sex in with younger men and in situations that I wouldn't dream about. Mm. And it was incredible. And I tell you what, it was the best sex I've ever had in my life. Mm. However, it was short-lived. It was those kind of, you know, short fling things.
Like sort of one night stand.
Yeah. And which at the time is great, and it, you know, and it does kind of make you feel attractive and wanted and all of those things. But it's not a kind of, it's not something that you can keep up long term. I could have done, but I've been quite exhausted. But I think the majority of men that I come across have that attitude in that, so I'm 40, well, I'm nearly 42. So the majority of men that are single at my age have that attitude. They're like, why even be in a long-term relationship when I could have this? So from, you know, I'm just surmising from from my experience, but I've also think we've lost, because I seem to feel at points when I think about it that the only option available to me is this internet dating. We kind of have lost this, the skill of chatting people up, and, you know, like you said about this, supping cocktails at the bar and being chatted up. We've obviously watched too much Sex in the City as well.
Back in the 90s.
Yeah, I know. But that just doesn't happen anymore, because I was sitting on the train coming up here and I thought, okay, I'm going to put my phone down and I'm going to have a look at the men on this train, and see if I find any of them attractive, see if I can catch their eye, and I will try and spark up a conversation. And it was so hard. It was so hard. Everyone is buried in their phones, buried in their laptops. It was very, very hard. And not saying that's a...
It's funny because I noticed that I went to... it was an event or something and I got there early and I was sat in the hotel bar. And I thought, oh, this is novel, because I'm very rarely sat in a bar on my own. And I was like, I ordered a gin and tonic and I sat there. And nobody made any eye contact. Now, I'm not giving myself a big up and saying they should have been, but I mean, nobody even appraised me in any, even just to go, oh, that's an old slapper, or look at that old, you know, Harridan, what's she doing here? They were kind of, everyone was, like you say, they were in their phones.
Yeah. So we kind
thought, I'd find that really hard if I was dating them.
Yeah. So we've kind of don't see it as an option anymore. You know, actually you can talk to somebody, you can ask for somebody's number, you can use those in real life connections to actually build a relationship. And we don't seem to be able to use those skills, which is a bit scary for the future. So that's what I'm trying to build. I'm trying to build that kind of in real life, because I think for me now, that's how it's going to happen, not on an internet site, because you just, it's such a false view of a person. You know, I've tried many a time, you know, putting up pictures, thinking about a really cool bio, and, you know, being really into it and feeling really positive about it and putting very much positive energy into it. And then the responses that you get, you know, it's like people try and start up a conversation just with hello. And I actually, the last one I did a couple of months ago, I actually sent one back saying, please be more imaginative next time. And you know, it's just, it doesn't take a lot, does it? So, yes. So it's about deciding what you want, I think, at this point. that's where I am at, deciding exactly what I want, how I want it to fit into my life.
Ruling certain things.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, it's not going to happen online. So I'm not going to worry about the internet dating for now. I'm just going to try and spark up those conversations in real life and build myself up and build my confidence up with it. So I'm sure it will happen eventually, but I think it will take longer and be harder to kind of to get that, because it's a lost skill.
I completely understand what Mary is saying, because a lot of my friends are annoyed by the fact that dating is now almost exclusively online, but I could not love it more. When I got divorced, it was a really interesting experience, because I'm extremely busy. I've got two kids, I run my own business, I'm doing other projects. The time is extremely, extremely limited. And so I am not going to go on a rubbish date. I would only go on dates once there'd been some good online chatter and I'd looked at their Instagram account to make sure that they weren't an axe murderer. And there's a really strong filtering system. So I went on great dates. They were really fun and it didn't always go anywhere, but they were never completely, completely rubbish. And I remember in the good old days of meeting people randomly, you know, if you go out to a bar, it's quite hard to strike up a conversation with someone and it goes somewhere. They're likely to be married or have a girlfriend or not interested. The great thing about it's so efficient, online dating. And if you're busy, online dating is so wonderful. And when you get face to face with them, you've got all the romance. You just miss out the laboriousness of it. I mean, I couldn't love it more.
See, I sort of feel like maybe for the next series, one of the things I'd quite, because I am quite anti that stuff, only because I haven't done it, so I don't really know anything about it. And the things that I think about are always that it's going to be, you know, people are going to be weird and you're only judging them on appearance and all of that stuff. So maybe we could do a little exercise where you walk me through.
Definitely. Can we put you on Tinder?
I don't know. Yeah, something like that. I would quite like to know is all about.
And I think if we got Paul's permission, then it was just a bit of fun. Yeah. I think that would be quite a fun look. Series two, boom, done.
Now, we're going to wrap up with some words suggested by you guys for female masturbation. So use these words and have fun with them. At Charlotte W22 said, love the podcast. I call it DIYing. Love a bit of DIY. So do we.
That's a good one. That's brilliant.
Then we've got at Vic Bullock _ love the second podcast. I'm a near 40-year-old and I had a major depressive episode last year. I feel dead from the neck down. I'm going to do my homework this week and have a go at waking up. My recommended wank name would be a Nancy. See what I did there. So I'm off for a Nancy or two and I look forward to next week.
Beautiful. Good
Nancy
luck to her.
Friday. We love her. And finally, Rachel, she wants to be known as Rachel, said, I agree. I had a wank or I masturbate. It almost sounds maybe a bit braggy or macho or competitive. It needs to be pleasurable, sensual or playful. I can only think of the word canoodle. So how about something like doodle? Not sure that works either. I doodled. Gonna have a doodle? It's tricky, ladies. Either way, I'm 24 weeks pregnant and struggling to sleep. So all I can say is, with your podcast encouragement, I definitely doodled, or whatever, at 2 a.m.
I like doodle. Didn't you have one, Cherry, which was, did you say taking care of business? Yeah. Or does someone say, is it business time?
Yeah, business time.
Taking care of business, business meeting. There's
go
lots
to yoga,
of euphemisms.
And then it's business time.
Yeah. On that note, off we go. We've got no homework now other than go and have fun, go and chat to your loved ones, go on Tinder. Go and have a doodle or a DIY or
take care of your love life and your sex life, and don't be afraid to try something if you want to try it.
Tune in to series two. Have a look at our website, thehotbedcollective.com, at The Hotbed Collective on Instagram, and look out for news about our live show. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, it's been brilliant.
Thanks, everyone.
Ta.
So, how was that for you? If you enjoyed it as much as we did, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to The Hotbed on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to listen. Each one makes a massive difference.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.